Welcome to the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham. If you have a comment, email it to me, box13 at greatdetectives.net. Give us a call, 208-991-4783, and become one of our friends over on Facebook, facebook.com/radiodetectives. Well, today's episode of the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio is brought to you by the support of our listeners, and we're continuing our listener support campaign. And due to a commitment I had on Tuesday, one of my normal recording days, I've actually recorded the first four shows this week, Saturday and Sunday. So this is the first time I've recorded an episode in the last 5 days. So we do have some donations to mention to you. Brian sent along a donation, and we sent him a gift certificate to Amazon to purchase the instant video, Amazon instant video version of Hickory Dickory Dock. Lise sent along a donation, as did Steven and Val. And we sent Val a copy of Perry Mason and The Case of the Velvet Claws, available through audible.com. And during the special listener support campaign, which runs through March the 3rd, we not only send out the donate. Oh, and I should also mention we received a donation from Shad. We not only send out the access to the premium site, which we do with all donations of $7 or more anyway, but we also offer a special bonus thank you gift. And for any donation of $20 or more, and you can choose one gift from the great list we have over there, depending on your donation level. So you can go to support.greatdetectives.net, see everything that's available, and you can donate there by PayPal. If you'd like to donate by U.S. mail, just send me an email, box13 at greatdetectives.net, and I will send you my mail-in address. All right, well, it's time for rehearsal. I believe it is the very last rehearsal we have for Johnny Dollar. This one is called the San Antonio Matter. Let's go ahead and we'll take a listen.
From Hollywood, it's time now for John Lund as Johnny Dollar.
Ed Quigley, Johnny. Are you free?
You mean, am I available? Yeah. What's up, Ed?
Remember Mark San Antonio?
The bootlegger? Yeah, sure. What about him?
Well, somebody shot him this morning. Shot him to death in St. Petersburg, Florida.
Oh, yeah?
Great Eastern Fidelity set up a trust 2 years ago for San Antonio's daughter. They want a full report before they come across.
I see. They know who killed him yet or why?
Not a thing, Johnny. Just that he's dead. When can you leave?
As soon as I can get a plane.
Good.
John Lund in another prescribed adventure of the man with the action-packed expense account. America's fabulous freelance insurance investigator. Yours truly, Johnny Dollar. Expense account submitted by special investigator Johnny Dollar to Home Office Great Eastern Fidelity and Life Insurance Corporation. 6th and Jordan Avenue, Hartford, Connecticut. The following is an accounting of expenditures during my investigation of the San Antonio matter. Expense account item 1, $162.03. Transportation and incidentals, Hartford to St. Petersburg, Florida. I arrived exactly 10 hours after I received the call from Ed Quigley. The rainy weather there was as bad, if not worse, than the weather I just left. I checked in at the St. Petersburg Hotel, shaved, showered, had a meal, and started in. My first contact was a police officer, Lieutenant Benjamin by name. A big, swarthy man who seemed to know what he was about.
I I don't quite get this, Dollar. What's your file?
This is my insurance company. We'd like a full report on anything that's happened.
Oh, you mean a report different from what we have?
Yeah, that's right.
Well, it's their dough. They can spend it any way they want it. What can I do for you?
Well, maybe we can help each other, Lieutenant. You'll sort of let me tag along and see what's what on the case.
We'll see. Well, San Antonio bought a big place over on the south end of town 11 years ago, just after he was released from Alcatraz. He's lived there since, quiet, minding his own business, keeping his nose out of trouble.
Yeah, so I understand.
As long as a man does that, even a man with a background like San Antonio, as long as a man does that, we don't bother him, he doesn't bother us. Well, today was the first peep we ever got out of him.
What happened?
Seems at 6 o'clock this morning, he phoned into the station and said that somebody was watching his house. How? I looked around and told the officers that two men hanging around the front of his house. They got away just before the car showed up.
Mm-hmm. You give a description?
Yeah, both about 6 feet, dark, wore dark overcoats and hats. San Antonio didn't recognize either of them. The officers put the description on the air and tried to find them, but they didn't have any luck. Now, San Antonio wasn't the kind of a bird to get excited about a couple of guys taking out his place. He pretty well knew how to take care of himself and handle trouble.
Yeah, but you say that he hadn't been in trouble or asked for any around here.
That's right, too. And I'm sure he didn't want any either. So his call was treated like any other prowler call. We investigated, didn't find anything, and promised to keep our eyes open.
Mm-hmm.
The cook came on duty about 8:30. She went in the kitchen, made him some breakfast, took it up to his room. And he found him dead. He'd been shot twice with a Luger. Lab has the slugs now, the close range job. Oh, here. From our coroner.
Oh, thanks. You say he was in the house alone all night?
Yeah, that's right.
How about the neighbors? Anybody hear anything or see anybody?
Well, we talked to the people who live in the house on the right side of him. They heard nothing. One on the left is vacant. Across the street, no one was of any help. My men are still trying to find a milkman or a paper boy or somebody like that who might be able to give us some information. Yeah. It'll all take a while, I'm afraid.
Yeah. Well, then the surest bet is the two men that San Antonio reported watching his house.
Huh? Well, that's about it. I wish we could find them somewhere.
What about the cook?
She just worked their days fixing his meals and taking care of him. San Antonio must have been past 60.
He was 67.
I guess he was beginning to show a little tread. Man who's lived the kind of life he has and done the things he's done is bound to show some wear and want some rest sometime in his life. According to her, he spent his days painting.
Painting?
Yeah.
Mark San Antonio?
Every room in the house covered with pictures he's done his last 2 years. Oil, pretty good, too. And when he wasn't painting, he was listening to records. All kinds of heavy stuff in the way of music around the place. Now, you hardly figure a bootlegger like San Antonio thinking of anything like music and art.
Hardly ever.
Yeah. Well, and all the time he was in action running booze up in New York and getting himself in trouble with the tax people, he was bound to step on a lot of toes and get himself a lot of enemies. The kind of people who wouldn't forget.
You talk to him much?
Oh, yes. Now and then I'd meet him on the street or in the store. He seemed pretty gentled up.
Mm-hmm. How'd he live?
Apparently, he saved something from the old days. A house he paid for in cash. Bank of New York used to send him a statement every month. I suppose he had some arrangement with him. Well, that's about it so far.
I see. Well, I sure appreciate the information.
Okay. When I get any more, I'll let you know. I don't think this will be an easy one.
No, I wouldn't think so, Lieutenant.
Crime Lab's still working on some of the stuff in his room. Maybe we'll get something there.
Mm-hmm. Say, do you mind if I talk to that cook?
Oh, that's your privilege, Dollar. The name's Olson. She's staying at the San Antonio house during all this.
Okay.
San Antonio's daughter blew into town this afternoon. She's at the house, too.
What'd she have to say?
Oh, nothing. She didn't even know Mark San Antonio was her father until your insurance company told her.
Didn't know?
No. She's been living in Philadelphia all these years with an aunt. All very legitimate. The girl's been using the name Randall. Edith Randall.
I went back to my hotel and had some dinner. After that, I put in a phone call to Hartford and talked to Ed Quigley about the conditions of the trust fund set up by the insurance company. Then I shaved, changed clothes, and checked with the police once more. They hadn't located the two men that San Antonio had complained about, and the Luger slugs were still untraced. Expense account item two, $2. Cab fare from my hotel to San Antonio's house. A gravel path led up to the residence. How do you do? You Mrs. Olson?
Yes.
My name is Dollar, Mrs. Olson. I'm from the Great Eastern Fidelity people. I'd like to talk to you, if I may.
About Mr. San Antonio?
Yes.
Not right now, Mr. Dollar. Some other time.
Well, if you prefer it that way, Mrs. Olson. The sooner we make up a report... What happened? Oh, well. Wrong, you said it over.
We'll take it from 8, line 4, please.
8, line 4.
Music. I went back to my hotel and had some dinner. After that, I put in a phone call to Hartford and talked to Ed Quigley about the conditions of the trust fund set up by the insurance company. Then I shaved, changed clothes, and checked with the police once more. They'd not located the two men San Antonio had complained about, and the Luger slugs were still untraced. Expense account item two, $2. Cab fare from my hotel to the San Antonio house. A gravel path led up to the residence.
Yes, sir?
How do you do? You Mrs. Olson?
Yes, sir.
My name is Dollar, Mrs. Olson. I'm from the Great Eastern Fidelity people. I'd like to talk to you, if I may.
About Mr. San Antonio?
Yes.
Well, not right now, Mr. Dollar. Some other time.
Well, you'd prefer it that way, Mrs. Olson. But the sooner we make up a report, the sooner we can finish what we have to do.
I know, sir. And I would talk to you, but this has been a tremendously hard day here. I mean, Mr. San Antonio's death and all of those policemen about him. Now, Miss San Antonio, Miss Randall here and all.
You suppose I could speak with Miss Randall?
Oh, I don't think so, sir. She's not feeling well. All of this is quite a shock to her.
I see. Well, then I guess my trip out here tonight was for nothing.
If you come tomorrow, Mr. Dollar, please, I'll speak with you tomorrow.
Miss Randall? Yes, Miss Randall.
Who is it?
It's Mr. Dollar. He's from the insurance company.
Insurance company?
Yes.
I'd like to talk to you, Mr. Dollar.
The woman who stood at the base of the iron grill stairway was tall and dark-eyed. She came toward me smiling, showing a frank, wide, happy mouth. Young kind of face that should have been 20 or maybe 30. Mrs. Olson excused herself and we were alone.
I wanted to talk to someone who might be able to give me a little more information about all this. It's all quite new to me.
Well, I'll tell you what I can, Miss London.
Yes, I assure you then. From what Mr. Hurst and the insurance officers told me on the phone, I'm to be quite well off because this man was murdered here today.
You mean Mr. San Antonio?
Yes, Mr. San Antonio. They tell me he was my father.
Yes, that's quite true.
Aunt Mary, who raised me, told me that my father's name is Randall. That he'd been killed with my mother in a boating accident. Okay. It's been difficult for her over the years to keep that secret.
Well, perhaps she thought it the best thing. Same as he did.
Well, I'm quite certain that everyone did everything for the best. You awaken one morning and discover you're not one person, but an entirely different person. You're the daughter of a famous rich kid who's been murdered.
You seem to me like a very nice person.
And so do you, Mr. Dollar. Will you tell me all about this, please?
Just our part of it, Miss Randall. Let's see, you're 26 now, is that right?
That is.
Well, 26 years ago, your father was on trial for income tax evasion. Just before he was convicted, he set up a trust fund with my insurance company to provide for you. Been paying money for your support and education all these years. According to the condition of the trust, the rest of the money reverts to you now. Comes to well over $2,000.
And that's all there is to it?
Yeah, except for this.
You mean my father? So strange to say that. My father's murder?
Mm-hmm.
I suppose I'm grateful to my father. I suppose I should be grateful. I can't say that I'm particularly sorry about his death any more than I would be if any human being died violently somewhere. How strangely life treats us sometimes. Very strange. You know, you've somehow made me feel comfortable in this house. Why I offer you a drink?
It was strange for me, too, because I felt comfortable in the house. Over the drinks, we talked with Mark San Antonio. I told her what I knew of his life, of his activities up until the time he'd been sent to Alcatraz. He told me how she'd been reared, far removed from anything that might have connected her in any way with the San Antonio name. Altogether, it was a revealing conversation for both of us. We'd never imagined any part of the kind of life her father had lived. And I never imagined that it was possible for anyone to get away from a man like San Antonio.
To the road, Johnny?
All right.
How long will you be in prison, do you think?
All this is straightened out.
You mean you'll be here until they find out who's killed it?
Mm-hmm. How about you?
I really don't know. I really don't even know why I came here exactly. Mm-hmm. I wanted to see him. See what he looked like. What kind of a life he had here.
Did you see it?
No. I suppose I can if I want to. But I have seen the kind of a life he had. He's such an ordinary man, wasn't he? Have you noticed the pictures he painted?
Mm-hmm. May I ask you something?
Well, yes.
How do you feel about him now?
Is this for your report?
Mm-hmm. For myself.
He's used him here in the last 2 hours. I've begun to think of him for what he was, my father, I mean. I'd like to know why he was killed and who did it. Will I see you again?
I hope so. Edith.
Yes.
I hope so very much.
You're right, John.
I left her at the door that night with a warm sensation inside of me. Something I certainly hadn't expected in the routine business of investigating a murder case. The next morning, I was back at the house talking to Mrs. Olson. She gave me all the information she could remember about San Antonio's activities up until the time of his death. Same information she'd given the police. All of it accurate, but lacking in any possible clues to the identity of his slayer or slayers. I had breakfast with Edith there and then went back downtown to spend a solid 12 hours in the company of Lieutenant Benjamin, who had still not located or identified the two mysterious men. However, there were other developments.
Say, this may be something.
Oh?
San Antonio's partner in the old days, Palalici, was murdered in Newark last night.
Timmy Palalici?
That's the one.
Any details?
No, just that he was shot to death with a Luger.
When the slugs taken from San Antonio's body were compared with those that killed Palalici and were proved to have been fired from the same gun, the case took on new proportions. Every available bit of information regarding the two ex-big shots of the 20s was located, read, and reread. The men activity in such cities as St. Louis, Chicago, New Orleans, and Buffalo. But no new information as to the identity of the killer.
Johnny.
Hey, what is it? You're shaking.
Hold me. Hold me, please. I suppose I'm being a terrible fool, my dog, Johnny. But they've been after me all day. It's cheap, what do you think? A newspaper sent me that wants me to write my explosive story as the daughter of Mark St. Antonio. Very precious daughter of Mark.
Now, take it easy.
Even Hollywood called. Somebody else saw my picture in the paper and offered me a contract. He said he had the script all ready. Woman asked me. I shouldn't have shown up at all.
Then what would I have done?
Then what would I have done? Mix yourself a drink, Johnny. I'll put on a new thing.
It had become apparent to me in the 5 days I'd known her, the 5 days that she'd known of her father, that she'd grown to love him. In memory of him. He stated it very simply.
Everyone needs a father. If you find out you have one, or had one, really, then you love him.
We were walking up the gravel path of the house when she said that. I suppose I was thinking of how nice it would be to kiss her at the door, when I heard someone behind me. I twisted, trying for the gun in my inside pocket, but there was nobody to shoot at. At least nobody I could see. She was dying right there. And I lowered it to the ground.
We'll return to yours truly, Johnny Dollar, in just a moment. It's clear that if you're on hand for this show, you must admire men of action. Every Saturday, you'll find plenty of action, fact and fictional, here on CBS Radio, when we bring you Tarzan, Lord of the Jungle, and Gangbusters. Every Saturday evening, Edgar Rice Burroughs' celebrated man of action, Tarzan, brings you a new adventure tale straight out of darkest Africa. And later on Saturdays, Gangbusters reenact real manhunts undertaken by our own federal, state, and city police. Be listening tomorrow evening when Tarzan and Gangbusters come your way on most of these same stations. Presented by CBS Radio. Now, with our star John Lund, we bring you the second act of yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Ten seconds after Edith Randall died in my arms, I was stumbling down the gravel path that led from the house to the road. It all happened so suddenly and violently that I can't say that what I did from there on or what I felt was entirely rational. All I know is that a car was parked at the deep end of the gateway and two men were just climbing into it.
Hey, you two, stop! 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 Get out of there. Both of you. Get out with your hands up.
I'm afraid to move.
Get out! Come on. All right, you two. Come on, come on. Stay where you are.
Mr. Dollar, what is it? What's happened?
They'll phone the police, Mrs. Olson. Oh, tell them to get over here right away.
Who are they? What is all this?
Go on, do what I tell you. Hurry.
All right, Mr. Dollar. All right. Stop.
You pretty tough fella.
What's your name?
Giuseppe Rico.
Who's he?
Yes, my brother. Giovanni. Eat the doctor.
Listen. Tell it to me. Tell it to me right now. There's no policeman around to cover you. Nobody but you and me. If you don't tell it to me now, you'll never tell it to anybody. Now tell it. Tell it.
Never. I die first.
I had one bullet left in my gun. I set the barrel back against his temple and pulled back the hammer. I think I really meant to go through with it. And for the first time, I noticed that my shoulder was covered with blood. My head began to ring, and I had to let go and straighten up. That was not the thing to do.
Oh!
Hello, Nadala. Huh? Oh, Lieutenant.
Quite a night, this one, huh?
Yeah, but...
Oh!
You stopped one, boy. You sure curled up when we got there.
Edith?
I'm sorry, Dollar.
I thought I might have been wrong.
No, you weren't.
How long am I slated for this place?
Well, the doctor says you can get out when you want to. Do you like talking?
They were just there, and they shot her. That's it.
Which one?
I don't know. They were together. That's enough, isn't it?
Sure, sure. Same Luger that killed San Antonio and Palalici. We're trying to pin it down a little more. We can't get much out of the one that's left.
Let me ask him some questions, Lieutenant.
Easy. I know how you feel about her. Just lie back there now.
Did he say anything at all?
No, nothing more than his name and his brother's name. Found papers on him that say that New York are looking him up right now. So far, they haven't been able to find any connection with San Antonio. People like San Antonio and Palalici make enemies, but that girl doesn't figure. And those two flew here from New York just to get her.
Yeah, yeah.
Dollar, you talked to her a lot in these last few days. What'd she say?
Nothing that has anything to do with this. You know yourself, she didn't even know who her father was till he got killed.
That could have been an act.
No, it wasn't. I knew her well enough to tell you that.
Why would they gun her down? Why the trip?
That Rico boy you're holding in the jail hospital has the answer. Get it from him.
We will, Dollar. We will. Oh, that's fine. Just a minute.
Sure.
Hey, Dollar.
Huh?
Maybe I spoke too soon. Rico died 5 minutes ago.
As far as my investigation in the San Antonio case went, it could have ended right there. The Luger found in the dead Rico brother was the same gun that had fired fatal bullets into all three victims. I got my release from the hospital and late that afternoon walked into Lieutenant Benjamin's office.
Dollar, I don't get it.
Don't get what?
Here. This just came from New York on the Rico boys.
Oh?
Came to this country when they were 18 and 21. Both of them were naturalized citizens.
Records?
Not a thing. No trouble ever.
Well, that's funny. What else?
Well, that's about it. Police there can't seem to locate their old man. He disappeared a week ago. Lived on the east side somewhere.
He a naturalized citizen, too?
Well, that's another funny thing. He's taken out his papers and was due for examination with the immigration people this week. They're looking for him, too. When are you leaving?
Tomorrow afternoon on a 1 o'clock plane.
Well, come on, I'll buy you some dinner.
We had dinner together and talked about the case. It had been a strange one. The deaths were useless, the motives unknown. The killers weren't even associated with their victims. I parted company with Lieutenant Benjamin and went back to my hotel to trouble it out with sleep. About 11 o'clock, I had a phone call. Johnny Dollar.
Hi, Dollar. This is Ben.
Oh, what's up?
Old man Rico just walked into the city morgue. He wants to take his two sons back to New York for burial.
20 minutes later, I was standing in the coroner's office when Lieutenant Benjamin led a small, wizened old man into the room and sat him down in one of the chairs. Gave him a glass of water, offered him a cigarette. Old man refused.
No, senor. No. Oh, thank you.
Mr. Rico, this is Mr. Dollar.
Hello, Mr. Dollar.
Mr. Rico?
I leave, brother. You killing my boy, sir. You so?
Yes. They tried to kill me.
Yeah, I know. I know. Too bad.
Why, Ricky?
It is simple. You was in the way.
I don't mean about me. I mean about Edith Randall and Alalichi and Mark San Antonio. Why?
I take the water now, please.
Why? Do you know why?
See.
Then tell me. They're all dead now.
I'm still alive.
Pietro Rico was held in custody for the immigration officials. He refused to talk about his sons or any of their activities. He just stayed in his jail cell, silent, non-committal to all visitors, including the chaplain. I don't suppose we'd ever have gotten the story of it, except that the will of Mark San Antonio disclosed that before her marriage to him, his wife's name had been Maria Rico.
More questions, Mr. Don?
No, I've got some answers. Mark San Antonio's wife was your daughter, wasn't she?
No.
Wasn't she?
She.
Is that all you have to say?
I don't talk.
Well, then I do, Mr. Rico. Because your daughter had a daughter. A lovely, wonderful daughter. With her two sons killed. I happen to know that girl.
She had to die too.
Why?
Paralici, San Antonio, and her. They had to die. All of them.
All of us are bad at one time or another. Who made them die? You?
She.
Who gave you the right?
I'm the father. When a daughter marries a bad man, only bad can come of it. He came to our village many years ago and he took her away. He and the men of Paralici helped him. He lived with me all this time. I live only to destroy him for that. Destroy him, the other man, and the girl, to my sons.
Why the girl?
She could not have been a good from a bad man.
The vendetta. Is that it?
If you like, and then he was a bad man who did bad things. Bad man. I smoke now. You got a cigar.
The disposition of old Pietro Rico is up to the immigration authorities. I didn't stay around St. Petersburg for all the complex examinations that would have to be made to test his sanity. I had enough of St. Petersburg. Expense account, item 3, hotel and board, $79.30. Item 4, hospital, $168.13. Item 5, same as item 1, transportation back to Hartford. Expense account total, $573.49. Yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar, stars John Lund in the title role and is written by E. Jack Newman with music by Eddie Dunstetter. Featured in tonight's cast were John McIntyre, Joe Kern, Jeanette Nolan, Virginia Gregg, and Jay Novello. Yours truly, Johnny Dollar, is transcribed in Hollywood by Jaime Del Valle. This is Dan Cumberly inviting you to join us next week at this time when John Lund returns as...
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Welcome back. Well, a very sad story, and kind of a study in how hatred, even with a somewhat justifiable base, can lead to such a great tragedy. I will say Bob Bailey did this version of this in the 5-part. And again, I hate to poo-poo it all, the version we're listening to now, but that the 5-part version with Bob Bailey is definitely something to hear. I think particularly part 5 was extraordinarily well done, but this one worked as well. Lund, I think, did a good job showing the emotion and really delivered a solid performance here. Well, we turn now to listener comments and feedback. And Lisa offers this. Hi, Adam. I'm glad to contribute to your terrific show. Follow that passion. You're wasted at the call center. Your fan, Lisa. Well, thanks so much, Lisa. And while I definitely hope to, provide some help to other people over there when I'm on the job and to learn some lessons in character, I'm kind of ready to move on and as soon as is practical. And so I appreciate your support here and the support of all of our listeners during this listener support campaign. Well, that will do it for this week. Join us on Monday for Barry Craig Confidential Investigator, and then back here on Friday for yours truly, Johnny Dollar. In the meanwhile, send your comments to Box 13 at greatdetectives.net. Give us a call, 208-991-4783, and become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/radiodetectives. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham, signing off.